You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Give to us now, dear God, we ask, the glory of the light of your gospel, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. I've been reminded this week, as I'm reminded every year on Trinity Sunday, about what the great reformer Martin Luther once said about our attempt to explain the Holy Trinity. He said, the great universities have invented manifold distinctions, dreams, and fictions by means of which they would explain the Holy Trinity and have made fools of themselves. Because it is, and it will forever remain, a holy mystery. In a previous parish, that became our last resort answer to some of the more difficult questions being asked by the little ones in our first communion classes. When in doubt, we simply said, that's a great question. It's a holy mystery. And for months afterwards, that was a phrase that surfaced at our home. At dinner one night, our son William, probably 6 or 7 at the time, asked, but Daddy, who made God? Without missing a beat, his younger sister Evelyn answered, we done, that's a holy mystery. It all started very early on in the life of the church when legitimate questions arose from the fact that Scripture alludes to a three-person Godhead, but never specifically references it. In other words, the word Trinity can't be found in the Bible, yet in the Gospels, Jesus says things like, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And in the epistles, Paul concludes his second letter to the church in Corinth with that familiar Trinitarian benediction, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. So because of these and other such scriptures, the church set out over a period of 4 centuries to give words to this mystery, to give words to this unusual equation of 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. And the Nicene Creed is the essential fruit of all of that prayerful discernment and work. The very first of the 39 articles of religion, which function as a kind of starting point for any theological discussion in our Episcopal or Anglican tradition, and can be found, by the way, in the back of every Book of Common Prayer. The very first article of religion reads, there is but one living and true God, everlasting, without body parts or passions, of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness, the maker and preserver of all things, both visible and invisible. And in unity of this Godhead, there be 3 persons of one substance, power, and eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That, in a nutshell, is the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. God is 3 persons of one substance. And the thing is, when you try to explain it, you run into all kinds of trouble. Now, in an attempt to proclaim this doctrine, Christians from across the ages have tried to come up with helpful ways to illustrate this mystery. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is this. You can't proclaim the uniqueness of the persons at the expense of their unity, and you can't proclaim their unity at the expense of their uniqueness without falling off the heretical cliff. It will indeed forever remain a holy mystery. Yet what we can do is see what this mystery reveals to us about God's nature. Because in the Trinity, God has revealed to us that one, he alone is God, but that two, that doesn't make him a God of isolation. He is, nevertheless, a God of relationship, a relationship in which love exists even before creation. Remember, in the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." And isn't the creative genius and power of Almighty God difficult to comprehend? If you've ever seen shooting stars over the ocean or desert, or held the hand of a brand new newborn baby, the majesty and power of God's creative genius is beyond words. I mean, seriously, you're just kidding yourself if you don't believe that creation reveals an intelligent design to the universe. I mean, I'm convinced it takes more faith to believe that there isn't a creator God than it does to believe that there is one. But that said, creation alone doesn't reveal that God loves us. Not when you consider the number of people killed every year by earthquakes, hurricanes, and tornadoes. And sadly, when I was a hospital chaplain one summer, I once held a baby who didn't make it through childbirth. What I'm saying is, if you only had the morning newspaper to go by, would you believe in a loving God? Or would you rather believe in a kind of cosmic game of dice? Because when I look out at the history of the world, I see ambiguity. Love, peace, and beauty here and there, yet disaster, horror, and Holocaust over there. But looking into the face of Jesus Christ, what do I see? I see that God is love. You see, in Christ, God reveals that this same omnipotent, transcendent God who created the heavens and the earth, entered into human history some 2,000 years ago in a small backwater province of the Roman Empire, and he became a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, God in human flesh. Of course, I'm talking here about the second person of the Trinity, with all of the holiness and majesty that belong to Almighty God, yet with an open embrace. Come unto me, all who travail and are heavy laden. God the Son, friend of sinners and the meek and those poor in spirit. Who would have ever predicted the second way of God being God? Who would have ever thought? The hands that created the heavens and the earth, taking in Roman nails and the hard wood of the cross, a crucified God for the sins of the whole world. And who could have ever predicted that this Son, who discloses to us all that we can know about God, would tell us that we can approach the Almighty and address him as Father? From our epistle lesson today, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Because at a great cost, because he so loved the world, God gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And one day, when the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Master, teach us to pray," Jesus answered, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" Who would have ever thought? It's why we say, as adopted children of God, and now as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, because our adoption as God's children is our greatest gift and privilege. And then, at the Son's departure, we were given God the Holy Spirit, the third way of God being God. Like he said, I will not leave you alone. I am with you always. We were given a counselor, a comforter, someone who has been with us through all the ups and downs of our lives, someone who has seen everywhere we've ever been and knows everything we've ever done, everything we've ever felt, and yet loves us unconditionally. And in the hour of our death, when no other living person will be able to follow where we go, he who is with us now and knows all will be with us then. This is the third person of the Trinity, who manifests himself in the midst of Christian fellowship where Jesus is proclaimed as Savior and Lord, the very same Spirit who brought each of us to church today. As I begin to wrap this up, referring back to the foundational Trinitarian revelation that God is at the very core a relationship of persons, although the Bible doesn't directly reference the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, but rather bears witness to a God who demands to be understood in a Trinitarian manner, it is as though the persons of the Trinity cannot be understood apart from one another. The Father is revealed in the Son through the Spirit, and all three are simultaneously, inextricably related to humanity through our creation, redemption, and transformation to new life, revealing a fundamental truth that God, and therefore ultimately all of life, is about relationships. In fact, the Trinity reveals God doesn't even exist apart from relationship. There is no God and no life apart from relationship. That's why we're never meant to be or ever feel alone. Years ago, I had a bumper sticker-sized plaque in my office that read, Christianity is a relationship. A reminder to me and all who saw it that although Christianity is a religion, much more importantly, it's a relationship. And anyone who has ever paid any attention to the way Jesus engaged people in the Gospels already understands that the people he typically tangled with the most were those who were very religious, yet somehow seemed to be missing the whole point. What's the point? That God, who is a relationship of persons, designed things in such a way that humanity is to be dependent upon him and interdependent upon one another. In other words, God designed things in such a way that all of life is about relationships. Our relationship with him and our relationships with one another. That is what life, and that is what Christianity is ultimately all about, relationships, where we're dependent upon Almighty God and interdependent upon one another in Christian community. So that is my proclamation to you today of the Holy Trinity. It can't be explained, neither can it be fully understood, but it can most certainly be appreciated and celebrated. What an awesome God we have. Merciful and almighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.